Welcome to The Bubble Lounge. I'm Nellie Sciuto.
And I'm Martha Jackson. And today on The Bubble Lounge, we're going to change gears just a little bit, and we're going to cover a topic that's a little bit more serious than normal.
And that is bullying. And we know that everybody in their lives, you know, whether an adult or a child, has experienced bullying in some way, shape, or form.
Right. It's just something that everyone has experienced at one time or another. And I just keep hearing this from various parents. The topic just keeps coming up. So I felt like we couldn't really ignore it and that we needed to help these parents out.
Yeah. And it seems to be more prevalent once the kids hit middle school. It just seems like, I don't know if it's hormones or what, but that's when it really starts to come out more than, you know, I feel like elementary school, you don't see as much of that.
You're absolutely right. There is something about middle school where it seems like it just really peaks. And I think it's just because everybody's trying to figure out who they are, experiment with identities. Am I going to be the nice person or the mean person? And nobody really knows who they are yet.
No, and people, they have personal struggles and they take them out on other kids. That's what it comes down to, right?
They do. So bullies, I feel like that they're, the reason that they bully is because they are coming from a bad place in their life. Something horrible is going on in their life and they're projecting it onto others.
Mostly. And sometimes people are just mean.
That's a good point.
It's really true. Sometimes they just are mean and they're not going to change. And Mr. Donovan's our guest today, who's going to really put this into perspective for us and offer help for parents.
Well, he shares so many great tips. You know, he was bullied as a kid, so he shares his own stories and he gives us advice of if your kid is getting bullied, how to help your kid open up to you.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's important. I think that's one of the best things he has to share with us is about having an open pathway for your child to talk to you about things.
Open communication is just key with this situation.
Mm-hmm.
So joining us today is Mr. Donovan. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Donovan.
Happy to be back. It's been 2 years.
It's been 2 years?
Yes.
Oh, but we see you all the time. So it kind of feels, you're always at a party, et cetera. So it feels like it was just yesterday.
It does. It's been 2 years since we've sat down.
Oh my gosh. Too long. So Mr. Donovan, a lot of people in the neighborhood know who you are. You're kind of famous. But there's some people out there that may not know who you are. So can you give us a little background?
Yes, I'm the biggest kid that works with your kid. So I've graduated from a sports coach to basically a life coach and handling all sorts of things because it's all tied together. And so yes, and also it's this wonderful February. I'm celebrating 33 years of being in the coaching business.
Congratulations.
Yeah, most people don't last that long when working with the social of children and families. It's a tough haul, but I make it fun.
Yeah, you do. You make everything fun. Let's just say that. Let's call it out.
I do. It's what I wanted to do. I wanted to make everything fun. And I had no intentions of ever doing this. I had no idea of being a coach or anything like that.
Well, and speaking of being a coach, you deal with a lot of kids, a lot of bullying issues with children, some of your clients, correct?
I do.
And something a lot of people probably don't know is that you were actually bullied as a kid. I just couldn't believe that. You've posted pictures and told stories over the years. And
yes.
It's just like, I'm in complete shock.
Yeah, you know, I posted pictures because, first of all, no one believes that I was ever, like, super skinny. You know, I could hula hoop a Cheerio. You know, I could slide down a pixie straw. I was, you know, and it was mainly verbal. And, you know, you can look at the Pacer Company as well, pacer.org, and it shows you statistics. But it's the words, you know, that hurt the most because those are the things that sticks with you. And you've had it before, or you've heard the adage of sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
Not true.
I was going to say, I agree with you. They carry more power.
Not true.
Yeah.
And we even see it in adults, so you can miss me with that statement. It sounded cool to pump you up, but it was not true.
No, not at all. Those bad words stick with you throughout your whole life.
They do. You start feeling certain ways about yourself and wondering, is it me? Was it me? Because your mind goes into runaway train brain, and you're like, well, am I really that skinny? Am I really that ugly? Or do I look this way? And then in extreme cases, people go a little bit further and hurt themselves. And some of us are able to rise above and forged, if you will. I'm not saying it's easy, but it was something that I thought that I could do. And so I did it. And now here I am. Who knew that I would be the one to help children and families and adults? Because those kids never really grow up. They don't just stop at children. They grow up and they have those same issues.
Well, tell us about your bullying. Give us a little background.
Oh, well, I was skinny, so I was always the tallest one in the class. And I'm not so tall by today's standards. I'm 6'1", but that's not tall. But when you're like, you know, 5'10" in the third grade or something, you know.
Oh, my God.
You know, you know, I was pretty tall. I was always, you know, the second grade, third, fourth grade. I remember being the tallest. When they take the pictures, you know, they go, you don't have to stand on the riser. You can stand on the ground. And they didn't do it. They, being teachers, photographers, you know, people say things and they don't think before they say. They just say it. And it's like, wow. And you as a child or someone, you don't know how to really interpret that. Mm-hmm. Hey, you're too tall. But then 3 minutes later, hey, you should try for the basketball team. Wait. Am I too tall or should I try for the basketball team?
Because you can't be both.
You can't be both. You can't be both. And so it's like, well, you're tall. Move your knees out of the way. Well, you can't sit here because you're too tall. I mean, so it's like, all right. So you just keep to yourself. And that's what I did. I just went into a bubble. I know I'm a talker now. But I was, you know, growing up during that period of the 70s and 80s, you could be that way. You know, you were cool in the bathroom, lip syncing and whatever, but you dare not do it when you walk out of the bathroom, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know anyone else who has not gone through that or something similar. But, yeah, I was cool in the bathroom. You know?
Yes. Well, we live in a much meaner world, I would have to say. And I feel like it's now become acceptable to really just say whatever you think. To the point where, like, we have a situation, it's not within my family, but it's within my family of friends, where someone was getting bullied so much that they were all at a party, and the girls got on a loudspeaker and were telling another girl to kill herself.
Not cool.
No. And, I mean, this is very, very serious. I mean, this is how people get away with things like that. And it was reported to the school, and the girl was brought downstairs and spoken to. The police were called. But there's not much else they can do. This girl still sees those people every day. What's your advice on something like that?
Here's the thing. Saying that it's meaner, I can agree with that to a point. Now it's more advertised, meaning we knew that the things that were said to me are things that are still being said. Mm-hmm. You know, you're tall, you're skinny, you're ugly, you don't fit in. Well, back then, there was no social media. Now everyone has cameras. It's always been going on. It's just we see it more now because it's, well, televised.
Yeah.
And we can spread it so much faster.
And you can spread it way faster, you know.
Which
gives it more power. And so statistically, the verbiage, I think it's like 49%, and where versus the physical. Mm-hmm. Things are said because that spreads like wildfire. Excuse me. However, the physical is not as much. There's some pushing and shoving going on, but it's easier to say, Martha, you have ugly hair, and then get someone to go in and chime in. And I've never...
Martha, you have ugly hair.
And see, so there it spreads. Now if I
you have
go
fabulous
over,
hair.
But now if I go over and push her, now we've crossed the line. Even the bullies know that.
Mm-hmm.
You see the difference now?
Yes.
They know we can't touch you. We know that it takes to another level if we do that. But to say something? I mean, just look at political ads. We can say whatever. Doesn't mean it's true.
Well, even at school, I mean, verbal bullying can be so easy to get away with because the teachers don't necessarily hear it, and it's your word against theirs, and the bullies know that, too.
And the teachers are bullied in high school, let's be honest.
Oh, my gosh,
so they're
yes.
Like, they're trying to take care of their own selves at that point.
Because you can get away with it, and that's the unfortunate part. And when we talk about bullying, if I may, one thing is what worked for me was understanding the bully. Sounds counterintuitive, but it's like, wait a minute. This person is, if I'm nothing per the bully, if I'm nothing, you're spending an awful lot of time to be in my wheelhouse.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So it's like, wait a minute. Everything that I know as a human, if something has value, we covet it, we love it, we will do everything to stay in it. Guys dating girls, whatever. We will do whatever we can to stay in that moment. But if I'm worth nothing, as you say, why are you here?
Yeah.
That is such an excellent point.
It really is.
I figured that out years ago. It was in the sixth grade. And I'm like, you know, I could run fast because I used to run from bullies. And my cousin would protect me. And they're like, man, your cousin's not here to protect you. And I'm like, why are you guys putting a lot of energy into me? And then, of course, I became a comedian because you had to have comedic timing.
Mm-hmm.
One, you know, so I'm going to beat your tail. well, you don't want to be that. It's too small. I mean, you'd be done in 10 seconds. And they start cracking up and they're going, oh, we like you. And I'm over there hyperventilating, like, oh, my God, I just saved myself. But what I figured out was I obviously have some sort of value because you are still here.
Well, here's a question for you. I'm going to tell you a story. When my son was much younger, he had a little bullying situation. And our way of addressing it was I called the mom. I was told not to by the school. Mm-hmm. I reached out to the mom, and we sat down with the kid and the mom and my son and I. And the kid ended up crying and saying, you know, his parents were going through a divorce. It was very much not what we expected to hear.
You asked the why.
Yeah, that's and so...
You asked the why, and then you grew from there. And that's 90% of the bullies. It's like, they want to ask for love, but they don't know how to do it.
Well, I just think that with bullies, that they're coming from such a dark, bad place because of whatever is going on in their life, and they want someone else to feel equally as bad as they're feeling inside. And that's how I've always explained it to my kids, is they're in a really bad place, and they're projecting it onto you.
Yes. Yeah, it's really, you're embracing the bully, and then, you know, you have the single bully versus the group bullying. And when it takes, you, again, it goes back to that value. Now, I was able to figure it out because I was a nerd. And I just, you know, it just didn't make
any
sense.
You observed.
I observed, and I'm like, something's not right. If I'm, again, I obviously have some sort of value, and then it comes in with the maturity. And it's like when every movie, much of what you said, Nellie, like in the movies, you show the bully at the end, he comes from a broken home, or he's not getting the love that he deserves or wants or what have you, or they deserve. And it comes back to when you start asking the why, it's like, well, you want a hug? You want some food? You know, there is something that's triggering you. You know, there's something in your paw that's got you feeling some kind of way.
Yeah.
So... That was a turning point for me. Once I figured out that I actually had more value than what was spoken, because clearly you're hanging on to me for some reason. Again, if I'm not that important, why are you here?
But that right there is so hard for so many people that are on the receiving end to understand, no matter how, especially a young kid, to understand, you know, that all they know is they're making them feel absolutely horrible, but they don't necessarily understand where they're coming from.
And it is, and it's an interpretation, as how you digest it. If you're on the receiving end, as I was, again, I was able to figure out my mom was very instrumental, my dad was very instrumental as well, and things that they said and the power they gave me. And then you have your own rules that you deal with. You don't hit back, don't fight back. So now you're somewhat, it's almost confusing. And it's like, well, if I can't fight back or say anything back, they're going to keep doing it. And that's hard to understand also. So now you're going off to a battle, if you're going off to school or anywhere, and you feel ill-prepared and you know it's coming. It's like, so the number one thing you do is you shut down. Then you internalize it. And then when someone asks, whether it's a teacher, caregiver, anyone, adult, or friend, well, what's wrong? Oh, there's nothing wrong, because we on this receiving end feel that there's nothing you can do. And if I say something, I'm going to get in trouble. If I don't say anything, I'm going to be in trouble. So you know what? It's just not even worth it. And when you don't have that willpower or that inner strength to say, you know what, I'm going to deal with this, even with the help or without help, it's hard. And again, sad things happen for most people that are bullied like that. And my heart goes out. I would like to consider myself one of the fortunate ones, not necessarily lucky, but I figured it out and I still see it. So when I see it, I say something because I'm in that position, and over time I've gotten stronger. But while you're in it, the one thing I would like for you to share with your children is like, you know, hey, you do have a voice. And that's one of the main things I do in my program. Building that confidence and that self-esteem and knowing who you are and knowing your value helps ward off a lot.
So I have a question for you then. Are you saying, because this is very hard when you're a parent, right, Martha? Like, you want to tell your kid, on the one hand, you want to say, fight back. On the other hand, you want to say, don't fight back, because then you're in trouble too.
Yeah.
So how do you...
Mixed signals.
Yeah, what do you say to people? Are you saying fight back with words?
Fight back, meaning...
By reporting it, you know?
No, you can report it, and you can talk. Having that communication, like, you know, I could always talk to my mom, and, you know, she knew if something was off anyway. And we were never made to feel shame, like, oh, you're weak if you can't defend yourself. Because believe it or not, that still goes on.
Yeah, for sure.
And these are your parents. And it's an ideology that must change. But when you have that open line of communication and say, hey, Mom, I'm being bullied, or Dad, I'm being bullied, and I don't know what to do with it. Even as adults, when we have issues, we can go do financial therapy. We can go have a beverage or something and get away with it. Children don't have that option. They have to suck it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so they're the one. They can't go and go for a drive or get on the back of the motorcycle. No, they go home. Then they have to go back to that place that they don't like. Why are you not doing great in school? Well, don't want to tell you because you're going to tell me I'm weak.
Exactly. Well, you sent me something before we started recording today from pacer.org, and it had a lot of different stats about bullying. And one of the things it said was 1 out of 5 students report being bullied. And I would imagine it's a whole lot higher than that, because like we're saying here, is kids are scared to report it because many times it just makes the situation worse.
Well, it's kind of like domestic abuse. It's all bullying in various forms. Those are just different dog legs. You know, we know several women, men, family members, elders that are being abused on, but it's not reported for fear of retaliation. And that's the biggest thing, is that fear of retaliation.
Right.
Sure, Mom, I could tell you, but you might say something that's not what I feel encouraging. Sure, school teacher, I could tell you. But when those guys that are bullying me see me tell you, it's snitches get stitches.
Right.
You know, it's the code of the streets.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's like, you don't live in my neighborhood. And that was my deal. You know, sure, there were teachers that reached out and they offered assistance. But it's like, can we do this at some other time? Not in the classroom or the class where the other guys can see what's going on. Because you don't have to walk home with them. You're not going to protect me every day going home. I'm going to get jumped. And it's like, sure, you're trying to help, but there's ways to help. But calling someone out on it, like, hey, I know something's going on, come up to the front desk. Well, now you have two problems, because I'm supposed to respect the teacher, but now I'm thinking about my life walking home.
Hmm. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's huge.
That's a really good point. And you touched on something. I'm going to go back for a minute. You touched on something that I think is so important. You talked about shame. Like, shame really is the worst thing in the world, as far as I'm concerned. Like, if you go through something and you have shame about it,
yes,
that's what takes you so long to get through it and get over it, right? So how do you address that with the kids that you work with?
One of the things is, it's as I've worked with all the children, you know, I'm like the big uncle, you know, and I can see things because I've been there. And they have a platform. I have kids tell me everything, and I do mean everything. And so then I will relay those messages back. But what they do know is they have a voice with Mr. D. They talk to me, and I talk back to them, and I listen, hear what they have to say, and go, let's try this, or hey, let's do this, or hey, let's try this. So you go from becoming a skills coach to a therapist. Mm-hmm. But you're also building that trust. And if you when you have trust in any relationship, it makes the road that you're going down so much easier. But if you violate that trust by, again, hey, I'm going to tell you something, Martha, and then you're going to go, well, you should do it this way. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. That's not what I was expecting, but sure, okay. And when it doesn't happen, as Martha would say or Nellie would say, you know, again, you as the end user or receiver, like you feel abandoned, and that's the worst feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So having that trust that, A, I can tell you, B, that you can support me and offer me ways instead of making me feel like, well, why don't you just fight back? Yeah, because it's that easy. So yeah. Now I'm going to fight back and probably get dusted. Now I'm going to get expelled. And now my life is ruined. And I got to go to school with these guys for how long?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's fun. So the biggest thing is just being able to have that trust and with the person that offers, you know, such as yourself, to offer that help to them.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't do that, if they don't have that trust, then it's just tough. It's really tough.
Well, what advice do you have for parents who maybe they suspect something's going on with their kid? Maybe they feel like there's some bullying, but the kid won't open up to them.
Then at that point, you can't force someone to talk.
Right.
And that's where the other family members or / friends, someone that they feel they can open up to.
Mm-hmm. Needs to come in.
Needs to come in. Okay. You know, it's the assist. It takes a village.
That it does.
It takes a village. I get to be the surrogate uncle for several families now. You know, and it's great because my deal, what is the end goal here? We want to make sure they have a safe environment. And what does safe mean? It means many different things to many different people. But more than anything, giving them that voice to say, hey, I don't want to carry this on my heart. And I don't want to carry this in my chest. I need to get it out. Can you help me? And people will ask for help in many different ways, whether it's self-inflicted or behaviors. But most often time, if you're in tune with it, you can say, hey, I'm here. You want to talk? You just slide it out. It's like how you date. You just slide it out. Hey, I'm here. Mm-hmm. If any, you know, no judgment. This is a no judgment zone. I'm here. This is my belief. But hey, if there's something going on and you can't tell me, hey, you can tell Auntie Martha, you know?
Yes, yeah. That makes sense. Like somebody, like a supportive person who's not in their family.
A third party.
Yes,
for sure. So what about a parent that has a kid who has come to tell them that they are being bullied, but please don't tell the school or my teachers because it's just going to make it worse? That's a really tricky situation to be in.
It is. And when you understand what is being said, sometimes you don't have to. But if it's one of those things where you can see bodily harms coming into play, you're seeing behavior changes, bedwetting, underage drinking, and things going getting out of hand, yes, you need to make them aware, just like governments do with the world. It's like, hey, listen, we got this going on over here. We got this crazy guy running around. I want you to be aware if he tries to come over to your neck of the woods. Just be on the lookout.
Right.
And you just drop that little birdie. It's not a violation of trust. Let me be real clear with that. They ask you not to tell, and they ask you not to do that because of fear, because of what they're dealing with. However, when you know and you have power, such as myself, when I see something that I know is going to go the other way, they've made me a part of it. Now, I got to wrestle that with my conscience and go, okay, I'm going to tell mom and dad, hey, this is what they said, and we're going to work on a plan together so the least amount of damage control. But I'm going to make the school aware that, hey, this is what was said, just so they know, so it's on record. So if anything illegally comes out, it's like, hey, we told you. We made you aware. Making right. someone aware of something that's potentially, it's like, hey, it's like the weatherman. Might have snow and ice. Now, what you do with it is up to you. But I'm going to let you know. And that trust is strengthened because there are other things that can go into work, because while you're feeling like, oh my gosh, I don't want Auntie Martha to tell anybody anything I share with her, da 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 da, I'm wrestling with that. I don't know if you've told Nellie. I don't know if you've told anyone. I don't know if you told the school, because I'm just trying to figure out my own. And so you're like, okay, I got you. And you're going to be my protector. But at the same time, you're going to let her know that, hey, this might be something else. Because now we have a whole community working on this in silence. It's like your own FBI.
Well, I mean, I have a feeling that you're going to say that there are varying answers, and it depends on the case. But if you were to give advice to, like, Tiny Donovan, what would it be about how to handle it? If somebody, if your son came to you and said, I'm being bullied... let me take that back. What if your son didn't come to you? How would you advise a child to come to reach out to somebody? How should they address it themselves?
You know, it is, and you're right. There is many different answers because it's the situation. You know, it's how it's perceived. If my son were to come to me, that'd be great. If he didn't, I would hope that he would talk to someone else. Mm-hmm. But how would I know? I mean, I don't read minds. I'm not very good at that. Mm-hmm. So I would hope that everything that we've instilled in him to be able to have a voice, that he could come talk to me, that he would. And if not, at least there is a friend or someone that could say, hey, you should tell your dad, or hey, tell my mom, whatever. But you don't know. You don't know. You just try to put everything you can into your children to instill in them that, hey, they do have a voice, they do matter, they are loved, they have things that, you know, they can talk, they have a voice, and there will be no shame. You know, it's just having those, like your mission statement of your family, you know, what you will and won't stand for, and having that as a base guideline to start with, because you can add to, and you can also dial back. But the main thing is, we're going to show love, we're going to show happiness, we're going to You know, if you can't do 10 commandments, let's do 5.
Yeah, let's get through.
You know, well, yeah, the baby steps. But, you know, hey, you know.
So really what you're saying is you just want to have an open forum with your child and present that to them, whether they've had a bullying experience or not. You want to say to your child at the right ages, if this ever happens to you, please, please feel comfortable.
Just really encourage that open line of communication.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. And that's where it starts from. Because once you're able to do that, dealing with bullying, I will say this, yes, and understand it, dealing with bullying will not be that big of a deal. Because when you think about bullying, it's about not getting what we want, whether it's love, whether it's, you know, you're just something that I want to be and I can't be. It's jealousy. And it comes from a place of hurt. Well, if you're feeling good and you're whole as can be, well, then it's like, you know what? You can share the love. Mm-hmm. Say, hey, have a sandwich with me. Hey, sit by me. Hey, you want to talk? And that's the number one thing. You see it all over television. You see it everywhere. Hey, just talk.
So, Mr. Donovan, we've talked about a lot of things today. You've shared a lot of great advice and information. I feel like that this, everything we've talked about, doesn't just apply to kids. It can apply to every age because these things happen.
It does, because we have... You know, I've had moms to be bullied in their little cliques.
Right.
They didn't go, you know, they didn't want to feed their kid a certain thing, or they have a bedtime and their friends don't. And or they, you know, that's bullying. You're not getting what you want. You're pushing your agenda on someone. You're being a bully. I see it in the moms. And it's not just located to a certain zip code. It's people. You can go online and see it's people. It happened in New York. It happened in Chicago. Major city, small town, doesn't matter. Someone doesn't get what they want, and they want to go against your beliefs. And I see it mostly with moms because I've dealt with it for the last 33 years. I saw it with the cheerleaders. I saw it with the equestrian group. I saw it with the gymnast. Saw it with the sports players. It doesn't matter. The thing is that it can happen to anyone. And there are moms that want to raise their kids a certain way. And that's great. That's their prerogative. And if you decide to invite them over to a sleepover and they say, hey, our kids don't drink soda, honor that and respect that. Don't say, oh, you're being a pushover. Just let me have, they can have soda. Wow.
I love that advice because I'm very big on that. Like I say to my son, when you are a guest in somebody's house, you just do whatever they're doing. You know, unless they're doing something really horrible. But you know what I mean? Like, be respectful. Whatever they serve is fine. You know, and you just don't break those rules, right? That's kind of old-fashioned, but I feel that
way. It's not old-fashioned. It's establishing, you know, a level of decorum.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, we eat fish all week, all right? Whatever. And we have water with lemon. Great. Now you're going to go to your friend's home. Hey, we've extended as a family that liberty to you to go to your friend's home. They like to drink wine with every meal. Okay, I'm not going to tell you not to, but before you put yourself in that situation, we've had that open line of communication of, hey, this is what we do as a family, and we know this is what they do, and we respect it. You have the power to say no.
Good point.
That's one of your biggest things.
Yeah, no thank you is different from, I don't. What's this? You know?
it's a level of decorum. No thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you for offering, but I'll pass. Or no thank you. Is it... biggest power, the most powerful thing you can say, no.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mr. Donovan, thank you so much for joining us. Tell people how they can find you.
Oh, they can find me at MrDonovan.com or, yeah.
Social media.
They can find me or through schools or whatever. They see me on the street.
You're everywhere.
I'm everywhere.
I know. I ran into you on the street 2 times before.
They see me in the front yard with people. You know, I'm like the neighbor that doesn't go away.
Well, I just want to say thank you for being on the show. And also, your mama raised you right. That's all I have to
say.
I agree.
Big heart. Thank you for having me.
That's been another episode of The Bubble Lounge. I'm Martha Jackson.
And I'm Nellie Sciuto. And we'll catch you next time.